Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail? I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-mm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is, not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity in your cocktail.
It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome back to Full Coverage.
It's your besties, Manny and Laura here.
Welcome back to the show where we're just a bunch of fools covering things.
Covering things. Today we're going to be covering. Today we're going to be
Today's
asking.
Today's honestly juicy.
Today we're going to be asking some hard questions to one another. So we have our questions ready.
I would say the hardest.
The hardest.
The hardest questions. Because I have my questions and like there are things I know, like some things that you have never talked about.
And likewise.
I'm scared.
It'll be fun. It'll be good to air some laundry.
Yeah, it's always nice, to, especially like with your bestie. Like it's nice to air out some laundry and just be like, bitch, this is what happened. This is the tea. Here's the 411.
I feel like too now at this point of my career on the internet, I get to like say things without having people choke slam me.
100%.
Do you feel like in
I feel the
past,
exact fucking same way?
You couldn't tell a truth. You couldn't say anything without everybody like with pitchforks at your door. And so now that was such a like old timey thing.
Like, no, but I feel like it's absolutely the truth. I think that a lot of people have gotten almost like there's like some laxness, maybe just us. Maybe they see our lifestyle, maybe they see the way that we are. People will just be like, oh, like they're like down ass bitches and they can get our vibes.
They're like ready to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think that it's just like, it just goes with the times, I think.
It does.
Like we've been in hot water. We have not had hot water and now we are fucking here.
I haven't been in hot water in years.
Me either. Mm-mm. It's been years.
Years. Years and years of unproblematicness.
What's it like to be so unproblematic, Laura?
Well, let's start.
What's it feel like to be so unproblematic?
It feels pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I feel like, well, we'll get into the video.
No, totally. But we also have like a little segment in the beginning. Of course, we're going to do advice at the end. Mm-hmm. Secrets advice at the end. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, you guys liked when we talked about like our lives, like what we did this week. And we kind of thought we'd just fill you guys in a little bit.
So this morning, me and Manny both started our morning with watching John.
Yes!
Static John. Watching him go live at the Ace Family House auction.
Baby, John did such a good job. Like he's like a reporter.
He's very well spoken.
He is.
So it makes me listen.
Like, and like he had PowerPoint presentation. Like he had cards up.
Literally.
And like whatever, if someone has cards up like that, I'm like, baby, should I be paying attention?
He's brave for doing what he did.
I love that he did it. Honestly, I thought it was like really cool. I think that it's almost like weird to think that like, because like for us, we talked about the Ace Family a little bit. And like, even me, I was like, oh my gosh, should we like be talking about this? Like it's the Ace Family. Like, should we be talking about it? Like speaking about certain things. But it's like, I think that it's just part of like our lives and we're talking about things and we want to talk about it. And the same with John. Like, I think he just wants to speak his mind.
I agree.
And I think we're at the spot now in our careers where we're allowed to speak our mind and say what's on our minds.
Exactly. And not only that, like we literally just talked about it. And then We were talking about the house going into foreclosure. Yes. And then, like, John was actually very educated on the topic because I don't know nothing about foreclosing. We don't know nothing about that business, which he really broke it down. So now I understand what's happening. So the foreclosure did end up getting postponed to October 12th, which he is going to attend that one, I think.
Hell yeah. I hope so.
I hope
bring that little microphone. Honey, I wanted to bring that little microphone. Nobody's great. I was really thoroughly enjoying his little
Me too.
It was really, really cute. I was obsessed.
So Manny, tell me what's going on in this week for you.
Oh my word, what's going on this? So for me, oh my god, today's Friday. So
no, I have not a launch. Today. Today is Tuesday.
I know, but it's going live on Friday. You fucking idiot. I'm like trying to do Inception here, Laura. No. So today's technically Tuesday, but you guys are watching this or hearing this on a Friday. So therefore, today is Friday.
It took me a minute to get there.
Today's technically Friday, but I actually have my reveal and launch going live for my collection today.
You guys head over to Manny's channel. Check it out.
You guys, because as soon as the reveal... This is like, I guess, like an audio podcast exclusive, because as soon as my video goes live, the launch, like the collection actually goes live as well.
So you guys,
but no one knows that.
Go buy it at lunarbeauty.com.
Lunarbeauty.com.
But first, head over to the YouTube video so you can see what it
is. Yes, see what it is. See what it is first, of course. I'm really, really excited about it. It's been a fucking journey trying to get it here.
Yeah.
Because of the port situation that's happening. And it's been so frustrating.
In the Los Angeles port, we have a major backup. It's one of the worst that we've ever seen. So there's going to be a lot of delays.
Like weeks and weeks and weeks. Like actually, if not months.
There's multiple ships sitting out in the ocean twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, just like not only. But like imagine also being at sea, just sitting on the boat for weeks.
We about to put the anchor down. I'm going to go on and head in.
And baby, I'm going to need a, I don't know what to, like, I wouldn't know what to do. I would freak the fuck out. I'm already like kind of claustrophobic, so I don't know what to do.
They don't care.
Yeah, I guess, but it's, I guess to me, I'm just so like,
They're like, whatever. Cut the check. Fuck life. Cut the check. We're chilling.
Cut the check. Bust it down.
Bust
I don't know the words. Well, your week. What was your week like?
So this week, like pretty much my whole week consisted of filming my home tour, which is live on my channel right now.
Fuck yeah.
I have promised that video for over a year.
I mean, it's about time.
How long have I been working on my home? Honestly,
oh my God. That's a sick joke to even ask me that, because
it's a sick joke. It's almost been 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. For as long as like, and
I have worked consistently on my home so hard. I completely flipped everything in it. It was a very glamorous, like pearly white, like everything super glam home. And I really switched it over to more of a natural warm tone home.
Yeah.
So everything's completely different. And so I do an actual home tour. It's up on my channel now.
I love the beads you have everywhere. The anal beads.
May I call them my anal beads?
They literally, like, they're decoration beads that are, like, in a big, like, circle.
He thinks they're his anal beads.
But they're not. First off, I shove this on my ass, I'm done. That shit is, like, the size of a softball. Like, it's not going up there. But they're so fun. Like, everything you have in your house is so, like, methodically placed. Like, it's very specific for a reason, which I really like.
I put so much thought and effort. There's no worse feeling in the world than having going, it's ugly. And like, oh, I liked my it God. Better before. And I'm like, which I explained in the intro of the video. Yeah. I'm like, I think everybody's home is different because your home should be your own little sanctuary. And like, if you hate what I did, that's totally fine because it's like my little sanctuary and what I like. But if you like super colorful or fun, crazy posters, or then that's so cool. And that's what you should do with your space. Like make your space for you.
We're all for an eclectic style too. You know, even though like I tend to actually be more on the neutral side of myself when it comes to like decor and stuff like that. I'm not really a decor person.
Yeah.
I literally bought my home with the decor in it still because I'm like, I can't deal with this. But naturally, I like the soft decor, the warm tones, like all that kind of stuff is like my natural go-to.
Totally.
Because I just like, I just feel like it looks really pretty.
Speaking of which, for those watching on YouTube, we have a neon sign.
And a middle camera.
Oh! We told you guys to be patient with us.
We told you. We told you to be patient with us, fucking bitches.
You're not patient with us.
And you ain't fucking patient.
Y'all did the opposite.
Listen, fools, because you're our listeners.
Go.
Y'all cannot be saying like, oh my God, I hate this, in the podcast, in the comments on the YouTube channel when we haven't finished the setup
yet.
You're
going to have to ease the foot off our neck.
Yeah, like, you need,
we were maybe, choke you need, slammed.
I need some air.
Air. Good Lord.
We need some air. We were trying to figure it out.
You would have thought, based on the comments, that we filmed in a dark dungeon or something. Like...
I know, but see, it's just a work in progress. Like this whole space for us is a work in progress.
So,
and once we get to a spot we love, I ain't taking no fucking shit from no one.
We'll be clapping back.
We're just swinging back. No, but honestly, I love the idea also of calling our listeners like fools or like something with fool.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
It's so cute.
Like, hey, little fools, or
I love it.
Foolies. Hey, I don't know.
Fully girls. Okay. We're going to work on that. Okay.
That's something that we're going to have to, you know, revisit. But if you guys like the idea of that, we like that too.
Yeah.
Fools. Hey, fools. Because we're fools.
We are a bit. Should we jump into our main topic?
I'm scared. No, honestly, I'm scared. Should I ask you first? Scared.
I think I'm willing to answer the first hard question.
I think
question.
That's really, really good. I think that'd be fantastic. I have a hard question I'm going to ask.
I'm a little nervous.
As you absolutely should be, because I did pull up some things that were a little tougher.
Okay, cool.
Than usual.
I'll take them.
Because it's like even like things that we wouldn't even talk about in like a truth revealing YouTube video.
Okay.
Things are a little bit more deep than that.
Yeah.
This is a pod. Like, this is like where we're allowed to get deep and dark and dungy.
It's what it's meant for.
It's what it's meant for, right? Mm-hmm. So my first question is going to be, why is your brand in TJ Maxx?
It is?
Yeah. Okay. Some little things here and there.
I'm just kidding, guys. I know it is. Shocking. Everybody that finds it in there tags me on Twitter and asks me all the time. And I should have answered this a long time ago, but it's not something I did, like, from my brand to my warehouse to TJ Maxx. Yep. It was a different kind of transaction. So for those of you who don't know, I was in Morphe a long time ago. My makeup brand was, and it is no longer in there. So that Morphe owns that inventory. They bought it. So they since I'm not in that store and they don't sell my product anymore, they do shift around a lot of their products they aren't selling anymore or products they want to clearance out. Either way, they move them to discount department stores, and that's what they did with our product that they're not selling anymore. So
With all of them, like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Nordstrom Rack, like that just like tends to happen. A lot of brands, especially the retailers, the big retailer brands will do that because it's like, oh, well, if this isn't moving or we don't want to no longer carry the brand, they'll do that a lot of times because they don't want to lose out on a lot of money.
Yeah, it's their way of like moving the product.
Yeah, so, they have to get rid of
it. But
it
isn't something that like, I guess it does have to do with me, but it really doesn't because it was a transaction, not really.
I wouldn't say it even has anything to do with
you. No, it doesn't even like really involve me. So I guess that's really why I haven't talked about it because I don't have any transactions with TJ Maxx and like, my warehouse and like what the product I sell on my website, it's different. So, but it is my brand. So I wanted to, so it's good to answer. Like,
no, for sure. And like, technically the only thing that you have tied to it is like, literally it's your brand's, that's your product.
But
that product is no longer yours once you sold it to another brand.
Exactly. And you know, like being a brand owner, like you don't really expect these things. And
totally.
Like, it's just
how
like
are we supposed to know that's gonna happen? Like,
yeah,
like that's crazy.
Exactly. So it's just like all kinds of things happen and situations happen. But I will say this: I am a Maxxinista.
Baby, me too.
I've been.
I think you've turned me into one.
I have turned you into one.
I do because I feel like you like are the ones that. Like, I mean, my mom also is obsessed with TJ Maxx. Like, she you and my mom are like the influence on me to like TJ Maxx. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like I'm like now like really into it.
It's a good store.
It's good.
I love it. I can't count the amount of videos I have filmed shopping there on my own channel before this and after this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so.
Hell yeah. We love TJ Maxx in this house.
Yes.
We love them all.
We love TJ Maxx. We love Marshalls. We love them all.
We love them all.
All right, Minnie, are you ready?
I don't know. Sure.
Okay. What is something you have never told the internet?
Something I've never told the internet. Okay, I do have this one story that I've never talked about.
Uh-oh.
And you know what's funny? Like, you even saying that is because, like, I thought about it the other day. And I feel like I almost, like, blocked out of my memory that it even happened in the first place.
Was it a negative?
It was a very, like, it was a weird situation. And I almost felt, I was uncomfortable.
It happened with someone else?
Yes. I was in an uncomfortable situation. Okay. I was put in a comfortable situation.
With someone else?
Yes, with someone else.
Oh.
And so this happened to me, I would say, 2014. So that was, like, 7 years ago. And I was, before I was even, like, really like Manny Amue quotation air quotes.
You were like starting up online.
I was just starting up. I had like maybe like 10,000 followers on Instagram, like very, very small an account. And there was a, how do you even say the word? Like someone who was a little bit older who was in the beauty space that would like take people under his wing in a weird way.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I'm not going to say his name because this is like an awkward situation.
What's it called though? Whenever some, is it, not coaching, but what's
like a sensei, but
no, what's the word that they use nowadays?
I don't fucking know. An orchestrator? But yeah, so basically, so yeah, I was like, I'm not gonna say his name because I was like, this is obviously so long ago too. And honestly, I think part of it was my fault too. Okay. I mean, definitely part of it was my fault. But 7 years ago, there was this like older gentleman who was like very about like helping with like, I don't know, the beauty space in some way. I didn't know really what he did at all, but he was an older man. And he had like DM'd me and he was friendly and I had met him a couple times, like went to different events or whatever.
Have I met him?
I don't know if you've met him before. Mm-hmm. You might have. But basically we're like, I was like DMing with him, kind of being flirty. I was being flirtatious because like, you know, it's like an older man in the beauty space. Like, and I'm already was like into like older guys, like in general. So I'm like being a little bit more flirty and like that kind of thing. And he was like, oh, you should come to this event with me. Like as like his plus one. Cause I never really, technically I think this would have been like the second time I had ever met him. Cause I'd been to one event and then this one. So he was like, I want you to come to me. You'd be my plus one. And it was like to a big influencer event that I had never met any of these people.
So like a cool opportunity.
So I was like, dude, yeah, for sure. Like I would love to come. So he's like staying in LA.
In San Diego.
I was in San Diego. And so I drive up, I pick him up and we're going and driving there. And he like gets my hand and starts to like hold my hand.
Okay.
And I was like,
were you into him at all or just like, no?
You know, I felt like I was like in the beginning, like I think the idea of it was like cool, but I wasn't like physically attracted to him. Okay. I think the idea of it was like, oh, like this older gentleman, I already like had like this old gentleman kind of thing. I kind of lived for that situation, you know, very daddy. And so I remember being like kind of uncomfortable with the hand holding thing, but I was like, okay, well, like, I don't want to make it uncomfortable. Like, we're not even at the event yet. Like, let me just keep holding his hand until we get there.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm holding hands. It's not that big of a deal. So we get to the event. It's fun. I had a great time. I met so many people and I had like such a great, great time. So finally I'm like driving him back to his hotel and he's like, so I'm like, we're parked and I'm like, okay, like have a good one. He's like, oh, do you want to stay the night? And I was like, no, like, I was like, I'm going to go back home. Like I'm done.
I'd rather just go ahead and drive 3 hours home. Like I'm good, girl.
I was like, I think I'm just going to pass. But I just like, because like throughout the whole night, like I thought that it was a fantasy that I liked, but when I was there with him, I was like not into it anymore.
Okay.
Cause I was like, okay, well like I'm not like attracted to really, even like with the daddy fantasy, like I'm still not attracted to you. Like this is just not going to work for me. When
you got to experience him, you were just like, I was like, not, you know, your vibe.
Not my vibes. Vibe. I appreciated you bringing me. Like that was really, really sweet of you. Not my vibe. So I was just like, no, I'm going to go. And he's like, oh, I thought you were going to like stay the night. And so then he got like this like weird tone. And I was like, no, like I'm going to get going. Like I'm really tired. Like I have a long drive to go. And he's like, well, you just stay here. And I was like, no, I'm like, don't want
to
stay.
Do you feel like he wanted to make you obligated because he took you to this cool event?
Well, as soon as he said, well, I brought you to this event. Like, don't you owe me something?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, say that again.
He said, well, you know, I brought you to this event with me. So like, what do I get in return?
Ew.
I'm not kidding. And I was literally like flabbergasted. And I can't, like, honestly, this is so long ago. This is like 7 years. So I can't, like, even my memory won't recall, like, perfectly. It was either, like, him saying, like, oh, well, do I at least get a kiss for bringing you to this event? Or it was, like, something along to do with, like, I brought you to this event, so I get something back, you know? And so I, like, relived that. And, like, my head, I was, like, well, maybe because I was flirting with him at DM a little bit and I went to the event. Maybe, like, I shouldn't have done all these things. And, like, you know, I was getting the wrong signal. But in that moment, I was, like, no, I'm, like, not comfortable. Like, obviously, I wasn't comfortable with it. So then he, so when he said that, I was like, okay. So I went in and kissed him and like we made out for like 10 seconds. And it was like, so
I bet you were like, oh, I don't.
It was just such a weird thing. Cause like I had never like been put in that situation really in my whole life.
Have you seen him like hang out with other young guys in the industry?
Okay. I have seen him hang out with other like guys in the industry. And I was, I had like, whenever I see him, I'm always like, oh, I wonder if like there's like situations happening. Like that happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's like he uses
his like little fame or like some way to like coerce me.
Exactly.
It was like really just, it was because I was so young. I was like 23. That's gross.
And it's like clear that your consent was like, no.
I mean, it was definitely clear when I was like, no, I'm good. Like I'm going to leave. And like, yeah. I definitely was like not saying yes, but I will say I did agree to like kiss him. So I obviously went in for a kiss because I felt like kind of weird about it. And two, I was like flirting with him in the DMs a little bit. So I think that like in a way, like I let him on. And so for me, I almost like I owed him like this kiss. I don't think you owed him
the kiss.
I know, but I guess like I don't know. I think it's just like for me happening, like because it happened to me, I don't even know how to think about it anymore. Like,
right.
And like my memory, like when it comes to that, like, I don't even remember so much of it because it was 7 years ago.
Right.
And I was so fresh and, like, I wasn't even, like, anything.
It's so gross because, in all honesty, hearing this story, I feel like he preyed upon you.
Maybe.
A little bit. It feels like a little bit of praying. I don't know. Yeah. Just, like, I don't know.
I don't know. The whole thing just was so weird.
Disingenuous, like, why he invited you to the event. Like, yeah, if you just want to hook up, then DM him and say, I would love to hook up or go on a date sometime. Mm-hmm. Not, I gave you this, now you owe me that.
Right. That's, like, that's the part that's gross to me.
Yeah.
I will always say that. I was like, I think it's gross that he was like, oh, well, I brought you here, so don't I get a kiss in return or a make out or, like, something?
That's, like, ugh.
In return, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that's so seedy to me.
Exactly.
Like, that part is really weird. But I've definitely never, like, I don't think I've ever shared that story online before.
Well, I'm proud of you for sharing it, but that just goes to show you, like, really how manipulative and, like, crazy situations can be, especially mm-hmm. like out here in LA, but I'm sure they can be like that everywhere with different situations.
Totally. I just remember afterwards feeling like so, like, dirty in this weird way. I felt so, like,
you didn't want to kiss him.
And I felt so, like, almost like ashamed that I was like, I can't believe I put myself in this situation. I can't believe I was being flirty and, like, and I didn't even like him in real life. Like, I thought it was, like, going to be fine from, like, flirting in DM. Cause I think it's a different, it's like, you're, like, in this, like, zone where you're like, oh my God, I'm, like, kind of horny anyway. It's, you mm-hmm. know, it's demon time. Mm-hmm. But then, like, in person, it was such a different thing that I was like, I'm actually not down.
Ew. Like, I'm hate not that so fucking much.
Down at all. Mind you, like, I'm, like, fully over it. It's been 7 years. And, like, literally, I just barely remembered it, like, a week ago. Like, it right. just came into my mind. I was like, what the fuck? This happened to me? How weird. But it doesn't, like, I'm not affected by it. Thank God, you know? Yeah. But it was just, like, weird. I feel like I was taken advantage of in a way.
Definitely.
In, like, the industry.
I would say yes. So, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy. I'm sorry. That
I know I told this to you, like,
you?
Years ago. Yeah, I feel like did. I told you years you ago, did. But I was like,
I was foggy like, on it too because it was so long ago.
Right, it was so long ago. Mm-hmm. I almost like forgot like that it even I definitely forgot it happened. But I think something like somehow triggered the memory and I was like, oh.
Reminded you. It's good to talk weird. About though because it also like helps people who maybe who have gone through a similar situation mm-hmm. or people who might run into that situation in the future
yeah.
and like hopefully don't find themselves caught up in it and like maybe see like, oh, maybe this person is inviting me or having me here for this and mm-hmm. I'm not interested in that.
Do it reminds me? It almost reminds me of like a boss.
Yes.
Like in a work environment, yes. that's like, well, if you want to raise, like, you're going to suck my dick.
Have you watched
it's the morning? It's very that vibe to me.
I think it's called The Morning Show on Apple TV with Reese that. Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's kind of what it's about.
Okay.
That situation
yeah.
where Steve Carell is, you know, using his power to get to hook up with girls at the office.
Gotcha. Yes. So that's kind of like what the vibe that I was kind of getting.
That's very the vibe. And it's not okay.
Like, it's not okay at all. Yeah. And like, I definitely feel uncomfortable about it, but. Because it happened to me, like, I don't even know how to react sometimes. Like, I almost, like, feel like I have to, like...
I wouldn't either.
I kind of almost have to, like, process it.
Right.
And I did process it so many years ago, but now, like, I forgot about it. So I'm like, wait, how did I feel about that again? Like, I dealt with that, like, mm-hmm. situation so mm-hmm. long ago that now I'm, like...
Just trying to remember.
Yeah, I'm just, like, trying to recall and remember. And I'm way past it, and I don't give a fuck that, it, like, even...
Right.
About him like, at all anymore.
Like, you're okay to talk about it now.
I'm
okay to talk about it.
Like, I don't mind. But it's just, like, such a, like, weird situation. Where I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen to me. How strange.
Very much so. Very weird.
Okay, well, I say before we go into the next question, we'll take a little break.
And we'll be right back after this. Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-mm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity in mm-hmm, your cocktail.
Mm-hmm. It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health. Thank you so much to Smalls for sponsoring this portion of Full Coverage. You guys, cat food, it's been the same forever. And it's time that we move our cat food from like just little kibble and little hard little pebbles to, you know, get into the 21st century. And that is what Smalls is.
I love Smalls cat food for my cats. You know, I'm a cat mama.
Yes.
And we feed our cats wet food for sure. We always have. But I've always, you know, looked at the ingredients and I'm like, I don't know what's right. You guys, Smalls is the one and my cats actually like it. Smalls was started in 2017 when a couple of guys were at home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. A few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats around the world.
I am absolutely obsessed with that. I think that it's so cool that they are doing that. And I just, you know, we want to feed our little furry friends the best things that we can feed them. So give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/fool and use promo code FOOL at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code FOOL for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code FOOL for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
We're back. We're back after a short little break.
But now let's go into my turn to ask you a question.
Okay, I'm ready.
What is your best and worst makeup collab that you've ever done? Like brand name. Yeah. I want like the juice. I want the jugo.
I would say, what should I start with?
I would say start with your best.
Just okay, like my best, I would say my Violet Voss, like actual collab.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a pleasurable experience through and through. I really have nothing negative to say about working with them. Oh my God, no way. Yeah. I created an eyeshadow palette with Violet Voss, like way whenever collabs with influencers were kind of fresh and new back then. So many years ago. I want to say it was like 2016.
Yeah.
Like so long ago.
Yeah.
It was a great experience. Very successful collab. And I have nothing to complain about. Also, the girls who run Violet Voss are just amazing.
Quality was great.
Yeah.
Like everything was good.
They're bomb. So it was good. But now let's talk about my worst.
Let's talk about your worst.
So
collab.
I want to open up a little bit about my worst collab. I also have had time to like mature, think about it, process it. So it's like kind of like I can like see the whole situation clearer now.
Yeah.
And like I would love to talk about it. So do you know what year it was I collabed with him? 17 or 18? I think
with
it was 17. The collab was
I was like, we have to tell me the collab first.
The collab was with MAC Cosmetics.
Okay. I created the lipstick. Yes.
So do you think it was 17?
I would say it's like 2017.
It was 17.
I'll say 2017.
So in 2017, MAC Cosmetics really hadn't collabed. Maybe they had collabed with an influencer before, but I think these were some of their first.
It was like some of their first
influencer collabs. So they took, I think it was 10 of us. It could have been a few more of us from each different country, influencers to Canada to create our own lipstick. And we actually got to go in the lab and make the shade. Like it was actually our creation. And then they wrote down like all of our dyes and like everything we put in it and would create it for mass production for our audience to buy. So me and Gabriel Zamora were the influencers from America. So there could have been
so cool that you guys did that, by the way.
Yeah, it was like honestly,
the opportunity is so cool.
The opportunity was so cool. And like MAC was one of the first makeup brands that really got me into like an obsession with makeup. Like I was at the MAC counter 24/7 buying everything. I didn't have the confidence to ever work for MAC. I really wish I would have went for it, but I just didn't have that. Like I was too scared. I didn't think I was talented enough. Looking back, I think I could have made the cut. I really do. But anyways, so this was like, honestly, like a creme de la creme moment for me where I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I could not believe it was happening. I was probably just, I can't explain how excited I was. MAC Cosmetic wanted to collab with me. I'm like, not sponsor me, collab with me. Like, I was shocked. I found out it was a lipstick and then a bunch of other people were doing it. Still the same excitement. And then we went to Canada, made our lipsticks. And they were going to launch, I can't remember. They told us the day of the week they were going to launch. And I was obviously pumped for that and made a bunch of content to promote it. But I had noticed as time got closer, MAC didn't promote it. So I was like, okay, interesting. They must are going to promote the lipsticks from all of us influencers on launch day.
Right.
Well, on launch day, the lipstick launched. I believe mine sold out on day one. Mm-hmm. It was super successful, but you know, MAC Cosmetics did not post one thing about the collab.
It was fucking crickets.
Crickets from any of the influencers. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you might be saying, well, maybe they just weren't on socials that day. First of all, they're a conglomerate.
And they had posted twice that day.
No, it was like five times.
No way.
Yes, they had posted on their Instagram times. Mm-hmm. Like a crazy amount of times. Avoiding the topic of all of our collabs. So it was just super disappointing that Mac mm-hmm. was not excited about the collab as I was.
I remember tweeting about it, actually.
Yeah, I think you definitely tweeted about mm-hmm. it, and then I tweeted about it. Like,
say how disappointed I was in Mac for not promoting Gabriel and your
collab.
Podcast. Your lipstick.
Yeah, it was like, honestly, it broke my heart.
Absolutely.
Because of how excited I was, and it kind of seemed like...
They weren't proud.
Yeah. But it was with all of... They didn't support any of us influencers. So mm-hmm. at this point, you know, my audience is seeing it. I'm getting a lot of comments about like, hey, why is it Mac posting? I've cried to you about it. Mm-hmm. So you defend me. You know, you're just like saying, you know, you wish they would support.
Well, I just think it's like, I mean, if you're putting your time and effort into this collaboration and you're promoting it and you're doing all this stuff, the whole point of a collab is it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
It's not just you're collabing with the brand and they're just like, oh, here's a morsel.
Right.
It's a two-way street when it comes to collaboration. So you would expect the brand to also be excited about a collaboration.
So at that point, Mac started to get a lot of heat because of their lack of excitement. And mm-hmm. they ended up posting a picture of me and Gabriel. But at that point, it was just kind of like, well.
Well, yours had already sold out by the time I posted it.
It already sold out.
And then Gabriel sold out like right after.
And I'm like, don't just post me and Gabriel. Like a bunch of us collab. Like mm-hmm. a bunch of us collabed with you guys. So maybe they were inexperienced in influencer collab, but it doesn't matter if you're collabing with who. You should always like show that excitement on both sides.
Well, I think they were because Mac was one of the last brands to kind of get on the social media bandwagon, if you will.
They were really late to it.
They were really, really late to that kind of game. So I think that maybe they just were. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in that situation. Like mm-hmm. kind of overlook the situation as that maybe they just didn't know and didn't realize that there was like an etiquette to collabing, I would say.
I don't think. Well, they collab with a lot of celebrities and there's yeah. major excitement behind all those collabs.
And never with an influencer. So maybe they're like, oh, well, we don't like.
But then how does that make the influencer feel?
Like shit. It's like, are you just trying to get the influencer buck? Like, are you just trying to get the influencer that you collaborated to buy the product to earn their coin and literally not give up and sweep them under the rug? That's uh-huh. how it seemed. And that's why I commented about it.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, girl, like they collabed, they launched today, by the way. Like in case you know, since you're the brand, in case you're aware. Your
massive audience knows nothing about it.
Yeah. So. And this is like, they didn't have a YouTube channel. Like there was no way that people knew that you were doing it with Mac unless you talked about it.
Exactly.
That's kind of the point. That's like where this is going.
It felt a little bit one-sided. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm sure it was their lack of experience in collabing with influencers, mm-hmm. but just a note for any brand, regardless of how big or small you are, if you collab with anyone, it should show excitement on both ends.
Absolutely.
Are you ready for your next question?
Yes.
What is your least and favorite... What is your least and favorite makeup collab?
Oh my God, that's so
funny. I made him choke.
I was drinking water. I wasn't prepared. Oh my gosh. I feel, okay, so all of them, there was like good and bad moments in all of my collabs, to be quite honest. Like all of them, though I would say the one that was the most seamless mm-hmm. was Ofra. Ofra Cosmetics was the most seamless. I did 3 liquid lipsticks with them. I did like a really, really light nude, a medium tone, and like a darker one. And I did 3 liquid lipsticks. And like, it was the most like just chill collaboration I had of all of the ones I've ever done. All the other ones had great moments and they had like moments that were just like, kind of shitty that we had to deal with. Mm-hmm. For example, when I did the collaboration with Jeffree Star Cosmetics, we like used like a certain box to promote it in the beginning. And a box that like, you know, the team designed and we did not take from anyone. And there was a brand, I'm not gonna say the brand's name, but they like threatened to sue us because like we were copying, air quotes, their design of their box. So we were like, what the fuck? Like we did not copy your thing, but like they almost like strong armed us into like paying them out. So we could launch your collab.
Like holding you guys.
Because it was literally like days before I was like, oh my God, like what are we going to do?
They do that on purpose.
They do on purpose.
It is a legal strategy. Mm-hmm.
So they can strong arm you into giving them money, and that's exactly what happened. So the things, something like that has happened to me. You know, when I did the collaboration with Make a Geek, the site went down and it was a huge mess. Like, it was just a fucking mess. And it was such a difficult situation because people like weren't getting the orders, they weren't getting emails, they weren't getting all these kind of things. And like Make a Geek at the time wasn't using Shopify.
But well, because too, you don't really have control of that in a thing. So you're just freaking out.
Zero control of that at all. Like the collaborator has zero control of what's happening on the site. Even the fucking brand owner has zero control of what's happening on the site. It's more so like the platform that they use to sell their products. For example, Shopify is a platform, which is like known to not really crash as easily if they get warning about stuff.
Yeah.
There's like, what other ones? There's Magento. Magento is the other one. That one will crash, but it has great like kind of add-ons. It has
like a history.
It has a history of crashing.
Yeah.
So there was things like that. And I think every single collaboration I've had, like for example, my Morphe one, we had issues with that one as well. I ended up like pulling certain things from the collaboration, and we launched with the palette and some shadows, or the palette and like some brushes, because there was issues with the lipsticks. And it was just like, there was so many different little things that happened to each of my collaboration. I'm grateful for all of them. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much from them, because that really was my passion for just like creating makeup and like having my own brand.
I will say like both of my collabs, how many times did I collab? Two?
No.
I'm being mortified.
Well, wait, Yvaila Voss?
Yeah.
Mac?
Mm-hmm.
You had that bundle with Morphe.
That was a bundle. That's not a collab. I didn't create a product with them.
No, you had like a brush bundle.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
If it's not, we're gonna get wrecked in the comments if it's not. Listen, it's been a long fucking time. Okay?
I have blacked out a lot of my memory of things. Yes. So there's a lot that's missing up here.
Yeah.
But too, I feel like my collabs taught me a lot, taught me with working with brands, what to expect, what not to expect, what to ask for before you deep dive in with a brand.
Absolutely.
Just different things like that. So you're not blindsided with anything. Like, and then I did start my makeup line in 2017, October 2017. Yep. So once I started my makeup line, I kind of quit collabing because I could just create the product myself.
Absolutely.
So I had started it so early on. I think that's why I cut off collab. I've had a few opportunities to collab. I don't know if you remember. I'll tell you off screen that I ended up turning down because I have my own makeup line.
I remember too, actually.
Yeah, I had two opportunities to collab, and I turned both of them down, not because I didn't think they were worthy of me at all. I was so honored, but I just had my own makeup line.
Right, so you almost felt like it was like, what's redundant? What was the point?
It didn't make sense because it's like, girl, I could just make it myself.
That's kind of how I was like when I was doing the Morphe one. I was almost like, why am I even doing this? Because I was like, I have my own brand.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time I was thinking like, you know what? For me, I was like, I can't create a palette this size with so many shades for the price that I could with Morphe than like my own brand, Lunar Beauty.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. So it was an opportunity for me to come out with something like neutral for people that liked neutrals that didn't want to spend an arm and a leg, just like an everyday kind of moment. And that's kind of what, you know, the palette was. But every collab that I've had has had like little hiccups here and there, but they've like taught me so much about what I want to have for even for my own brand and like all that kind of stuff. So you can't like regret it, really. You can just be like, okay, this happened. I'm going to move forward in the best that I can. And I'm going to make sure that everything is as great as it can be with my own shit.
I will say this, in my self-help book I was reading.
Of course.
It just talks about failure and like how necessary it is. Totally. If you want to change, grow, switch up things, like failure is a really great way to do so. And it's like encourage, like we're set up in a society where it's like we should only really be succeeding. We should never be failing. But it's like in the human world, that's impossible.
It's impossible.
It's just like dogs down failing so much. So sometimes when things don't go right or they feel like they're failing, it's like that is the best time because it's a fight or flight. And it's a time where you learn and grow, even if you don't in the moment. Like some things where I have failed out publicly and privately, I look back and learned later on, like learn from this, like rethought the situation, be like, wow, this is why that happened. And we can't let that happen again. Like you need to do better, you know, or like change this up.
I think that's a huge thing that we have to all remember just in general, is that like you cannot fear failure because you grow. I feel like you grow the most when you fall down and you're looking, you know, you're at the bottom. You can only go up from there, you know? And like at most of the time, like you're not paying attention to anyone else when you're like smooth sailing. You're like in your own zone. That's all you're doing.
You're not reevaluating what you're doing.
No, not at all. Because it's like, well, why would you? It's if you're working. Like, succeeding, it's working.
Yeah.
Even though when it probably is like something probably shitty.
Areas that really need work.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's like just
working
something,
for now.
Mm-hmm. But in the social media world, failure is like you're canceled.
Yeah.
So you have to like, you know, be careful with obviously things like that. But like we have to remember that it's just natural for people to fail and they're going to have to get back up and we're going to have to learn how to forgive them and we're going to have to move on.
Move on, honey. Move the fuck on.
Mm-hmm. My turn.
Your turn.
My turn. Okay.
All right.
What is the next one? Okay, got it. Okay. What's the worst product from Loralee Los Angeles? Your least favorite.
Okay, so I'd say my least favorite. Okay, so I feel like I need to explain, but I'm going to tell the product first.
Okay.
I'll say our party animal palette.
Party animal palette.
It is a small eyeshadow palette. It's six pans. Mm-hmm. There's all electric colors. Now, I like the palette, and I cannot tell you how many people have used the palette, we still get the most incredible creative looks that come out of that palette tagged on our brand. So at the end of the long day, I'm excited about it, but I'll say it's probably the palette that that is the least of our aesthetic, like matches our aesthetic the least.
Got it.
So for that reasoning, but I would love to tell you guys the story on how that palette came about.
Tell it.
So in 2017, I had created Cat's Pajama eyeshadow palette. I launched it actually in 2017. I started creating it in 16. I will say, like, gosh, I've grown so much and like have come so far from that palette. I think that palette needed a lot of adjusting work. I just had a lot to learn. And unfortunately, when you do have a larger audience, you don't really have that. You should learn before you launch. But I had growing pains and I had a lot to learn. It was a great palette. It ended up selling super well.
It really did. People, and the quality is so fucking fire.
Oh, it was bomb.
It's so good.
The color scheme, beautiful. Fire. Mm-hmm. It was really just the packaging, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the aesthetic of it.
The aesthetic of the packaging was not cohesive.
Right.
So I launched that, got a lot of negative feedback on the packaging of Cat's Pajamas. People really enjoyed the eyeshadows. And at that point, I had already created Nudie Patootie. Mm-hmm. So thank God, because I was like, well, they're going to love my next launch because it's super
neutral,
cohesive and neutral. Uh-huh. Like, it's very cohesive, the whole collection. So I launched that. It was super successful. But you guys got to remember, makeup takes a year out. So whenever I came out with Cat's Pajamas, I immediately wanted to follow up with a Kitten's Pajamas palette.
Kitten's Pajamas would have been so cute. Kitten's Pajamas. Uh-huh.
I wanted to create that, which would have been the mini version. So it would have been a six pan palette.
Yes.
So I had that palette, the actual palette, not the eyeshadow yet, but the palette made.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback was so negative on the packaging of Cat's Pajamas. I said, oh my God, I have to scrap this project.
Because wasn't it reversed or something like that? Like, what was the packaging for it?
The packaging was, I think it was kind of the same.
Was it the same? Okay.
I can't remember either.
It was so long ago. I can't remember.
It was so many years ago. I know. Mm-hmm. This was 2016 because we were already creating Kitten's Pajamas at the same time we were creating Cat.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, we can't scrap this project, but you know what? Let's revamp. We've kind of come out with Nudie now. Like, this is the transition. This is the vibe of our brand. So I was like, why don't we do something fun? Why don't we come out with a Boss Babe six pan palette and a Party Animal six pan palette? And they kind of contradict one another.
Yep.
One is a neutral palette for everyday work wear, day wear, and one's like a fun nightlife palette, like electric, fun color. So we came out with them. They did good together. But I would say, all in all, like, our audience for Loralee Los Angeles is not an electric colored girl. Like, I don't think people come to my brand for an electric
palette. She's a girl on the go.
Yep. She's an everyday working girl, you know, a hustler. So anyways, we have come out with Candy Skies, I will say, but that was
which was
pastel.
Gorgeous. Ooh,
that was one of my favorites. But anyway, so I will say, like, the palette kind of like developed through this long time of me taking so many critiques. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish at the end of the day I wouldn't have, and I would have just came out with Kitten's Pajamas.
Right.
I do. I wish I would have stuck to my guns. Mm-hmm. It's hard because it's like I let everyone get to me, but at the same time, the feedback is so important to me.
Especially as like a brand, this is like your first launch.
It's more than about you.
Of course, like me with Life to Drag. Like, I had a lot of people that were like, that's weird. Like, what does it have to do with anything with Lunar Beauty? It doesn't make sense. Same thing with me. Like, it's growing pains. It's your first launch. You just, you launch it, you absorb it, you absorb all the information, and you just hope that you can move forward in the best way.
I feel like I absorbed so much information, it scared me out of creating what I wanted to create.
I know.
And so I regret it, and I don't. Yeah. I mean, you know, you never know.
Look how amazing, like, some of the things you have launched have been.
Yeah.
Like, we've had how amazing, and, like, that was wouldn't have happened if you hadn't got that feedback in the beginning.
It's so true.
So it's like, I love the aesthetic of your brand now. And like, maybe if you would have kept on going with like Cat's Pajamas, that would have been the route your aesthetic went, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But like, I like your aesthetic a lot now.
Me too.
More.
I just had to learn and grow. But again, totally. I came out with Nudie before I even knew any feedback from Cat's Pajamas. And people were crazy? Like, oh, wow, she really like cleaned it up. And like, I was like, well, actually.
I already did this shit.
Before. I already made this.
Like, I was already making this.
Girl, this was already done, but okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm glad you guys like it.
Absolutely.
So I would say that. Okay.
For my next question,
let's take a break.
Okay, let's take a break.
And then we'll be right back. And I'm going to ask Manny his next question.
Okay. We are so excited to tell you guys all about what is keeping us hydrated and healthy, and that is Taste Salud.
As many of you know, Manny and I love a good glow on the skin, and skincare is great, but hydration starts from within, babes. Salud's Hydration Plus Immunity Drink Mixes get straight to the root. Get ready to sparkle from the inside out.
They're the ultimate drink mix with a 2-in-1 benefits, 1 gram of sugar only, and authentic agua fresca flavors.
No, because let's talk about it. Hydration and immunity for the healthy glow, low calories, and authentic agua fresca flavors. Are you kidding me?
Baby, you have me at agua frescas. Flavors like Jamaica and horchata are nostalgic as hell to me. You know, just takes me right back to when, you know, I was at family functions and, you know, the parties in the backyard. And it just really makes me feel good drinking them, to be quite honest. And I can constantly drink them without worrying about too much sugar, which is lovely.
I personally love their clean ingredients. They're also vegan and gluten-free. They're so yummy and easy to incorporate into your daily water. So if you're ready to hydrate your body inside and out.
So if you're ready to relive nostalgic moments.
Head to tastesalud.com and use code FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Taste the goodness, embrace the nostalgia, and cheers to health, babes.
And we're back.
I like the octave change. And we're back.
That was awesome.
That was horrible. Okay.
All right, Manny, I'm going to ask you your next question.
Okay.
Do you ever compare yourself to other influencer makeup brands?
Oh my God, I do all the time. I do all the time. I actually cannot help but compare. Like, comparison is the thief of joy, is what they say. And I think for me, like, I try not to. I try to hone in, focus on my craft, focus on my creativity. And I know I come out with dope ass fucking shit.
You do.
I know. And I know I have a great aesthetic for it. But I just can't help but compare when, like, other influencers specifically. Like, I'm not saying I'm comparing to fucking Benefit over here. Like, I'm not doing
that. It's, like, unrealistic.
Like, it's unrealistic. Why I can't compare. But when I have, like, other influencers out there creating brands and they have these humongous backers and they have, like, these investors and people, like, in their brand, like, that's, like, paying for all their shit. And, like, they have gondolas and Sephora and Ulta and all these things, which is incredible. And I'm, like, happy for them. I can't help but feel like, oh, shit, like, I don't have those things.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that naturally I do that because I just, like, always want the best for my brand, and I always want the best for my customer, and I always want the best for my consumer. And sometimes I feel like, am I enough? Like, am I enough? Because, like, a lot of the other influencer brands out now, because they have these huge investors, because I don't, I'm obviously self-funded, as are you.
Yes.
My launches are a little bit smaller, and they're farther out in between. There's no, I'm not coming out with 10 SKUs in one launch.
Yeah, that would be pretty much impossible.
It'd be impossible for me, and, like, or even, like, 10 to 40.
The only way I could do that is if I work on nothing, no podcast, no YouTube, like, just
only that.
Really, and maybe post a couple Instagram pictures.
And, like, that's it.
And that's it.
But, like, that's not the life that we live.
Yeah.
Like, we do have the podcast. We do have YouTube channels. We do, like, we do so much other stuff that, like, we can't just hone in on the brand. And, like, listen, that would be cool. And, like, I'm sure, like, just being a full-time CEO would be dope. But, like, I would miss being online and, like, talking to my audience and, like, all that stuff. Just like I know you would too.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, I naturally do compare myself to other big influencer brands because I'm like, sometimes I feel like I wish I could do that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I could have bigger launches and I wish I can come out with more SKUs. But realistically, like, if I'm paying for my own POs, PO is a product order, mm-hmm. just for those, in case you didn't know that, a PO is a product order. If I'm paying for my own product placement orders and I'm
Shelling out your own hundred thousands of dollars, yes, from your own bank account, your investor isn't saying, what do you want to come out with next? What should our next project be? Let's create it. And they fund 100% of it.
Exactly. And like, that's a different journey, right? Like, go those people that have investors. That's awesome. It's for me, that just wasn't my... That wasn't my path. And like, mm-hmm. I didn't want to give a ton of percentage in the beginning. A lot of times when these big investors come in and they're like, we want to take 90%, you can have 10.
Yeah.
But we'll pay for your POs.
I've been offered, I've been offered two different investors into my brand. Mm-hmm. One wanted to offer me 6% of my mm-hmm. brand and they got to keep 94% of it. Mm-hmm. And basically it would be a situation where they funded everything, they marketed everything, mm-hmm. paid for the photo shoots and like really all the manufacturing and all that. But they got 94% of my brand. And that's said, abso-freaking-lutely not. Like, it's what? Crazy. Like,
how's that my brand then?
Yes. How?
That's even lower than a collab percentage.
It's way like, lower than a collab percentage.
Like, are you joking? Like, that's and crazy. Like,
knowing I would have to work at this thing day in and day out for 6%.
I've been offered 8% and I've been offered 12%. So for me, it was the exact same situation where it was like such a drastic change where I was like, no, I'm just going to do it myself and I'm going to make it happen. But, you know, for me, I'm like, sometimes I feel like maybe I need an investor. Like maybe I do want to come out with huge like SKUs and huge launches and stuff like that, but I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that sometimes I get a little into my head about it. I get a little insecure about it.
It's very understandable though.
Right? It's like hard. It's hard not to.
I feel like I'm
going to
be honest. Like I feel like I am so disconnected sometimes mm-hmm. from our industry more than people think.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a bad thing to admit.
No, because like I feel like you've pivoted into more fashion and lifestyle and like you literally have a boutique.
Exactly.
If you had just Loralee Los Angeles, I promise you, baby, you would have been thinking the same shit I would.
It would be a total different conversation.
It would be a different conversation.
But I have my hand in other pots.
Yeah.
And like my focus is there.
Absolutely, which is like fantastic. And I have my hand in other pots too, which is awesome. Like I'm happy that I have the podcast. You know, I did The Surreal Life. Like I have my hands in other things I'm able to experience. Mm-hmm. But like, I still can't help but think like, dang, I would love to be able to launch a foundation range with 50 shades.
Yeah.
I could literally never right
Sometimes
now.
Sometimes I impossible. Feel like, and this is terrible to say, but I'm mm-hmm. like, I feel like that's too good for me.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Just like... Do I deserve that?
Yeah, like, do I deserve a huge range like that?
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like...
I know I do because I literally, I can't help but get insecure about it too.
Exactly.
Like, I can't help it. I was like, well, like, I would love the idea of it. It sounds fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But like, one, I couldn't do it. Like, it's just not a feasible thing at this point.
Right.
But like, you know, and you know what? I'm just saying that now. Like, what if I have an investor down the road that's like, I would love to invest in your brand. And they're like, we only want to take 10%.
I'm like, you never know.
I was like, no, but they take 10%. I take 90.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say like, I mean, like that's such a low possibility, but like that's.
Or 50-50.
I'm not saying, or 50-50. I'm like, I'm not saying that this is impossible, but right now I do compare naturally because I am self-funded and as are you and a lot of other influencer brands too. And it's not like a right way or a wrong way to do it. If you're self-funded, great. If you're not great, whatever the fuck, you have your products out there, but this is just like my path. So my launches are a little bit less in skew and farther out in between.
I think people appreciate that though.
You think?
Like I think people know that you self-fund that brand mm-hmm. and like at this point in the game, they kind of know the difference.
Yeah.
And not saying one's bad and one's good. That's not true. I think, you know, everybody's on their own path doing their own thing. But I think your audience and like the Lunar Beauty fandom, the fans of Lunar Beauty, I should say, mm-hmm. I feel like they're aware. So I feel like they really appreciate the nicheness of your brand and appreciate that you don't overkill with products. Mm-hmm. They can tell that every launch is so genuine and it's just things that you've worked so hard on and that you do have to take time to come out with these products, which makes them feel more special. I'm not trying to
That's
say people who come out with more and have great big investors, their launches aren't special. I'm not trying to say that, but I do think
there's something about having your own self-funded brand though
that makes it mom and pop to an extent.
It makes it a little bit more indie. Like actually it's literally indie.
Why do you support these tiny indie mm-hmm. small businesses? Because there is something so special and niche about them. Mm-hmm. And that's like the point of them.
Because they're independently owned. They don't have a huge investor and backer.
Exactly.
Whereas those wouldn't be considered indie because they do.
I think
whereas
your audience us is like indie. Sees that. I think they appreciate it.
Well, I hope they do. And
they do.
I think that they do too. I really do. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more of like a in my head.
In your head thing.
Like I just
which
can't,
is understandable.
I can't help it. But I know my products slay. I know my visuals slay. I know like I do a great job. Mm-hmm. I just think it's natural to compare a little bit, especially with people in your own industry.
Yeah.
You ready for your question?
I'm like, do I have another one? Yes. I'm just kidding.
This is going to be like our last one because we're like sailing through this pod.
Oh, wow.
We're fucking sailing. Okay. Wow. This question is, how do you deal with toxic people in the industry? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'll say this. I don't. I don't. Ooh, you know, I've definitely had run-ins and like moments in the industry that weren't my best. Mm-hmm. But I'll say I just keep to myself, and maybe you guys can use this as advice for your life. But like, if you run into people that just aren't your vibe, or like you feel like you're going in a not a good direction being around those people, then get away from. I mean, like the answer honestly is simpler than you think.
Yeah.
Get sometimes, away from
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's harder to do,
but it doesn't matter. The answer remains the same.
Still simple, yeah.
I don't deal with it. I completely separate myself from it. And one of the biggest favors you can really do yourself is minding your own business.
Baby, absolutely.
Even whenever people try to drag you into their stuff, mind your own business. Mm-hmm. And so I find that, like, honestly, like, that is the best way to deal with it. Mind your business and don't deal with it.
Like, just, I mean, why would you have to? Like, it's like, you literally have one life to fucking live.
Exactly.
Why would you have to deal with people's bullshit? And that doesn't, like, just go for people in the industry. It goes for, like, literally everyone.
And yeah, things people do may piss you off, but I'm not going to act on it.
You're going to vent to me about it.
I am. Yes. And then we're going to put a pin in it.
We'll revisit that later on.
We'll revisit that later, but, you know, it is what it is.
But, like, that's, like, I mean, that's the cool thing about, like, thank God we have each other and, like, we have such a close-knit group of friends.
And I can't control what other people do and say. I can't. Absolutely. But I can control what I do and say.
What's that one saying from RuPaul? What people have to say about me is none of my business.
It's none of my business.
It's the truth.
It is the truth. If Ru said it,
it's the truth.
It's the truth.
If RuPaul said it, it is the gold. Truth. But it's, I mean, really is like the fucking truth. Like, what people have to say about you, like, all you can do is be yourself and like present the way you want to be presented. And if people don't, if they say something about it, if they don't see that same way, then that's their opinion. That's their view.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
Well, Mr. Manuel. Or misses, I should say.
either or. This was like a fun podcast for me. Like, it was
this
like
was
nice.
Like one of my favorites.
Me
so
too.
Far.
It was like nice to be able to just like kind of talk and just sit and just like really have an in-depth conversation.
Do I have
about
another
some
question
things.
For you? All right, let me ask you one quick question.
Okay, fine. Before the segment.
Why aren't you taken yet?
Oh my God. That's like such a hard question for me to even answer.
You better answer.
I think that I'm not taking it because my walls are really high.
Yeah.
And I have a high threshold for what like I want. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like I think I've like been through like a lot of trauma when it comes to like dating or like just connections with men in general when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I've told you this long ago, but I don't know if I ever told you about like one of my high school best friends.
Yes.
That like he was like you and me. Like we were like every single day, we talk every single day. He would go on like family trips with me.
Wow.
Like literally like so close. And one day he just never responded to me ever again. And like stopped talking to me, cold turkey. Like out of the, it's like as if you literally disappeared off, mind you, you're way closer to me than I was with him. But like, just like imagine like your, one of your closest friends, especially in high school time, like your best friend, just completely disappearing off the planet. Cause he went to a different school than I did.
Okay.
So I wouldn't see him at school. Okay. We'd see each other after school. Never respond, never saw him again.
That is so crazy. Do you know why?
I have no idea. I still don't know to this day.
Oh,
and this happened to me when
God.
I was like 16, 17.
This is
crazy. I think that like, it's like, it caused this like weird thing in me that like, it just like something shattered in me. Mm-hmm. Like when that happened, because I had never had felt like that before where I had like this personal connection with this like dude. Mind you, he was straight. And like, I was straight at the time, you know, like I was like very just like, we're just like dude, two guy friends. But like when that happened, I think that like part of me just like shattered in this like weird way.
That's terrible.
And it's sad, but like I feel like that's like, you know, and then when I started like liking men and dating men and wanting to be interested in men, like the guys that were interested in when I was in my like late teens, early 20s weren't interested in me back. Mm. So when I would try these things, like it wouldn't work. So I had my heart open for like so long and I just kept getting shat on constantly. So I think that now it just takes me so much longer to open up and like be at a spot where I can like actually have feelings for someone.
Yeah.
Because I'm so like
guarded
and like I feel like I'm calloused
yeah
to like this idea of being like in love, because I'm sure know what other love
people
feels like.
Out there have experienced similar like a similar situation.
I'm sure they have, like I'm sure they have, but like being ghosted by your best friend at the time,
horrible,
like that's like the weird, like
in high school is such like a hard time and like an impressionable age. Yes, it's such a like age.
Yeah, like the, yeah, I forgot like the word for it, but it's like it's such a the age is you get molded so much in your high school years.
Yeah.
And so I think it just like something in me just like really just snapped and I couldn't like get out of it.
Ugh, that sucks.
And so yeah, now I'm trying though.
But I feel like you have gone on successful dates. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not the one, totally. But I feel like you've like really done well.
I just got did a couple recent dates that were like fantastic.
Exactly.
We're no longer talking anymore.
So we're moving in a good direction though.
So we're moving in a great direction. So I'm happy. I'm like, it just takes me a little bit longer than usual, but I'm trying to open up more and be more like accepting of love because I know I deserve it, but it is hard for me.
Well, I love the honesty.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Okay, so we do
our segment
advice.
Let's
fucking do it, bitch. Let's
would you like do me it. To start?
Let's have you start. Yeah, absolutely. So, unsolicited advice, which is actually solicited.
They specifically asked. Yeah. But our first one's a three-parter. Oh, everyone remains anonymous, of course.
Absolutely.
I broke up with my boyfriend because he was immature and he lied a lot to me. But I think he really loves me and we were good together. And I want to be with him, but I don't know. Should I wait it out and see if he grows up or move on?
See, but the lying thing is where she got me.
That one really.
That one stuck. I think that is you can't the red flag. Trust.
That's beyond immaturity. I mean, it's beyond. If you have to be a little bitch and lie about everything, then you are immature.
Absolutely, but like
being brave and honest takes maturity.
Oh, absolutely.
So I get it, but it's like if he lies, girl, no.
Absolutely not. By the way, we're also like working on us doing like. Getting some audios in so we can like record them to like the microphone just so you guys can like hear it if we want, but for now we're just gonna be reading because we're still working on that. But no, like I feel like when it comes like to lying thing, I think that's like where I draw such a huge line.
Me too.
Mind you, I'm also like literally never been in love, so there's that, and I don't know if I can even have that kind of advice.
It's like, girl, I don't know. It's like maybe you were good together, but there are other fish in the sea who are mature and don't lie.
Exactly.
So it's like, why are you like putting on hold your life waiting on this guy to grow up?
Absolutely. And it's like, yeah, they're like, he might be great for you in that way, but like you shouldn't. I mean, and maybe he will mature, you know, and we're not saying that he's not.
I'm sure.
But like the idea of like, you can be mature and lie still though. Like it's just true. Because you're mature doesn't mean you don't lie.
It's true.
Like it goes, you know, both ways.
I honestly wouldn't wait on
I wouldn't wait on him either. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard because you're in love and like I know that like that feeling
maybe
is so
if you
strong.
Guys naturally come back together in yeah. some way, but like just like actually waiting on him to grow up, no
I agree. I think that you need to put yourself out there and like do your own thing, and then like maybe if it's meant to be, it'll be. And I think that down the line maybe it'll happen. Great, you know, that happens actually all the time. Like people like were in love in high school, they break up and like in like later down in life and they live in a small town, they like get together again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, like we both grew,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think that it could happen.
Do you have a secret for us?
I do.
Manny's gonna read a little secret. Secrets.
I'm just reading just one for now. Should we read? Okay, so I screenshotted two. One is like a like, what the fuck?
Okay.
And the other one is like a, oh, okay.
I want the okay first.
Okay, so okay or first. If we have time.
Yeah.
This one is, for some reason, and I don't know why, I feel like my son's autism is my fault. It like breaks my heart.
That breaks my heart.
It literally breaks my heart reading it.
Because you birth a child, you create a child, mm-hmm. you know, and then like you feel maybe that guilt or like feel mm-hmm. like you did something wrong. But listen, I don't think she should feel that way.
I completely agree. She did absolutely nothing wrong.
Exactly.
What she did was bring a little angel into the world.
Uh-huh.
And like, that's what you did.
Exactly.
Like, that's what you did. You helped someone come to this earth and like you loved him and you raised him. And that is like all you can really, like if you just love your child unconditionally, you've done like all you can as a parent, like dead ass.
Yeah. And it's like, it's natural to feel maybe guilt for something. Absolutely. Like that. Like we as humans tend to like, even like whenever I'm like, I know I'm good to Aaron, but sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, how can I be better? You know, it's absolutely. Like you always like pin in guilt and like you're not doing enough or you're not enough or maybe you did something wrong. Like I feel like any type of parent, I'm not like I didn't raise a child from birth, so mm-hmm. I can't speak to that. But I think like in the parenting world, like it's natural to like have guilty feelings. I was watching a TikTok the other day. Mm-hmm. It's like she was like putting her son to bed. It's like walking out of the room, her thoughts in her head. And she was like, should have spent more time with him today. Should have not gotten so angry. Am I a good mom? Mm-hmm. You know, like all these thoughts that naturally come in that like are of guilt. And it's like as humans, I feel like we do that.
The inner saboteur.
The inner saboteur. As we've always said again.
No, honestly, I think that, like you said, it's so natural to feel like guilty in this way, but just know that you're enough. Mm-hmm. Like if you're loving your kid and you're being there for them and you are accepting of who they are as a human being and you're there for them, that is like what the kid needs to be a good kid.
Yes.
I mean, there's obviously so many other things like structure and like, you know, there's a lot of things, but like at the core, like value-wise, like love and acceptance, like that is truly mm-hmm. what kids need to flourish.
I feel like my mom was very that.
Absolutely.
I feel like she was really loose in other areas.
She was like, yeah, do your thing, girl. Do your thing. But she loved you always, unconditionally. And she accepted you for who you were.
Absolutely. All three of her kids, she really mm-hmm. like honed in on that.
Like that was like the thing. But see, that's what makes a fantastic parent.
It is.
Is like you just truly loving them and being unconditional with who they are as people. Like just accept them.
Yeah.
And I think that if you accept your child and you love them unconditionally, like
you're good, girl.
You're good.
You're good.
You're good. I know it's hard not to feel guilty, but try to focus on all the good because you do, I'm sure, so much. Like even saying that to me, like I know that's hard.
Yeah.
But like you're great.
And that sums up episode number 6.
Six.
Oh my God. Full coverage.
Episode 6 of full coverage. What should we even title this? Should it be like
asking each other the hardest questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like thank that. You guys so much for all the support on Full Coverage. We've really enjoyed it. And
we love it, you guys.
We love you guys we so much.
We love
it.
And we love like doing this and we're really just enjoying like the journey.
Yeah. Because it's been really fun.
It's fun. Like I just like to sit and just chat and like get to open about things I don't naturally always talk about like myself.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like on our channels, we post different types of videos. So sometimes we don't give ourselves the opportunity to talk about some of these things. Mm-hmm. And like with this podcast, we get to say so much more.
Absolutely. We got to go like deep dive into things.
Deep dive.
And like really talk and dissect certain topics. And like we're just having a lot of fun with it. And we hope you guys are too. And we'd love for you guys to rate,
like,
and subscribe and like, and just like, you know, let us know what you guys are thinking. We really, really, really appreciate it. Leave a little review on Apple Podcasts.
And with that, we'll catch you guys in our next episode.
Bye. We love you. Guys.
Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-mm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity in mm-hmm. your cocktail. Mm-hmm.
It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.